Hey, Adelaide Crows, 23-point win over Port. A terrific team effort. I said from the first bounce they were hungry.
Yep.
They were aggressive. They were attacking. Joining us is one of their stars, a key defender, Daniel Talia. Daniel, thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, mate, we're pumped we're speaking to you, because normally we get you, well, they trot you out when they lose.
yeah, we did say that last time. It's good to be here after a win.
Now, mate, how's your back? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, my back's fine. I tweaked it in the warm-up, or strained it, or whatever you call it. And it was a bit touch and go there for a while, but I laid down on the physio bench for a while, and they strapped it up and prodded at it, and I was able to run, and I wasn't really able to twist or anything or bend down, but it got through the game, thankfully, and it was a bit scary there, but I don't think we had any emergencies that could have come in for me, so I had to play.
You know what? We would not have known, Daniel. But apparently you were ruled out. The team sheets were very late, and they actually had a line through your name. So how touch and go was it?
Yeah, look, it was probably, it got to about 3, what time was the game? 3:40, I reckon. We were about 3:20. I was there, and I think they were going to rule me out, but then Sando come in and had a quick chat to me, and I said I was right to go, so they went back on their decision, I suppose. So, yeah, it was really touch and go there for a while, but I'm glad I played in the end.
And we're glad you played too, young man. Best performance of the year, I thought, by the team. To a man, it was outstanding.
Yeah, I think it was our best four-quarter performance for the year. When you look at Port's side, they've got stars on every line, and I thought it wasn't just a couple of guys playing their role this week. It was just about everyone, and they're such a dangerous side, and I thought our guys really pressured them, and after halftime probably got the game back on our terms, and when the rain come down, I thought we had adjusted to the conditions a bit better, and that's probably why we got over the top of them in the end.
Well, young man, you spoke about halftime. Tell us about it. We speak to David Noble, or we speak to one of your assistant coaches at the halftime break of every home game, and just try and get a bit of an insight as to, you know, what's happening inside the change rooms and how the team is travelling. David Noble spoke in glowing terms of the mood in the room at halftime, player-driven, about the attitude towards the game. You were 2 goals down, but said, you know what, there's something special in the rooms today, and he just flagged it. Tell us what it was.
Yeah, look, we're definitely coming at half time, and we knew going into the week that our season was probably on the line. If you go 6-8, you're probably not going to make the finals. So at half time, we were really positive, and we thought we probably got let off in that second quarter. Port kicked 2-7 or whatever it was. So their bad kicking probably kept us in the game, and we come in at half time, and I think the coach has made a few structural changes as well. We didn't tag this week, and we probably didn't let their midfielders get off the chain like other midfielders have in previous weeks. So those were 2 good things that happened there. And at halftime, the actual speech, I wasn't in there because I was trying to keep my back loose. So I actually didn't know what the guys were saying in the team meeting. I wasn't even in it. I was kind of just jogging around by myself for a while. So, but the guys were positive as we come in and come out. And there just seemed a bit more spirit this week than there had been in previous weeks. And it definitely showed at the start of that third quarter.
We spoke about it at 5AA, having Kerridge and Laird out, and we love both those guys, and they've got roles to play. But maybe it was a blessing in disguise, because then you had to refocus. There was no run-withs. You put your best against their best, and you played attacking footy. It was talent v talent, and in the end it showed out, Daniel. And I think that was maybe a blessing in disguise for a different mindset going into the game.
Yeah, I think the mids knew they had a massive job. Port Adelaide's midfield, their run and carry and their creativity out of there is probably what gives them an advantage over other teams. And I thought our mids went head-to-head with them and did a really good job, especially in that second half. When the wet weather came in, we really adjusted. And it was almost like we took the game on more when we were behind, and we didn't go into our shells. We kept attacking and, winning the clearances and stuff in that second half. The mids were fantastic, and they didn't really let Port have that open running game that they get from their midfield, which was great as well.
And I hope you've learned a lesson from that as a playing group, and I'm sure you have. The best footy you guys play, when it was behind against Port in round 2 or Geelong round 1 or other teams where you've hit the front, it was when you played brave footy, attacking footy, and take the game on. And I think that's what you want to see. No kicking backwards. There's times you've got to do all of that, but take the game on. I'll go back to that first half. By foot, you went at 52%. How frustrating is it being in a team where you just can't hit targets, Daniel? Because it just comes straight back over your head.
Yeah, exactly right. And the reason for that is probably we were a bit stagnant coming out of defence. We were probably chipping it around a bit too much and not getting that run and carry that you saw in the second half. So when you've got to chip around, teams are so good in defence these days, they turn the kicks over, and that's why their kicking efficiency was probably down. So, it was probably more of a mindset of take the game on a bit more and run and carry and use our hands and break the lines rather than just going back off the mark and trying to chip through them because teams are too good. They just cut it off these days.
And another good thing when the Crows are up, I notice you don't miss tackles. You nail the first tackle, and that method around that stoppage is far better. Gee, that was critical in that second half, and some of those crunching tackles were terrific, Daniel.
Yeah, and those crunching tackles really, really set the intensity for the team and really lift guys around the team. So yeah, that's massive for us, and especially against Port, they're so good at flicking the ball out with their quick hands and I suppose flicking the ball out and moving through the contest. So that area around the ball, covering their receivers was really big for us. We had we didn't have too many guys going in for the ball, and we had guys covering their receivers, and that's probably why we stuck those tackles, and that really lifted the team the second half.
Gee, with your plus 30 in contested possession, you're not going to lose too many games. I reckon you had 6-7 players that had double figures in contested footy. Port Adelaide had 3, so it was a really significant part of your game last night.
Yeah, it was. Guys in the midfield like Brad Crouch and Scott Thompson and Paddy Dangerfield, they were amazing. They were winning the ball on the inside, and then I thought their spread on the outside as well to run from contest to contest. I thought they matched Port in that area, and that's been Port's strength. So those guys in there were unbelievable, and to get the job done on the inside and the outside as well is a credit to them, because they've probably been under the pump a bit this year. They've probably been beaten a few times, but against a really quality side on the weekend, they stood up and showed what they can really do when they put their minds to it.
Why does that happen? Why does that happen last night, and it's been such a struggle for so long?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a hard one to answer. Mm. If you knew, you'd probably be on the top of the ladder like Porter.
Correct.
I thought the guys just took the game on, and yeah, we didn't tag. Maybe that was the reason for it. I'm not sure, but the guys went head to head and just played a brilliant game. I don't know. I can't answer for the midfield, but yeah, they certainly just played a good game.
What does it mean when you have a Tommy Lynch back in the team who is, looks like he's such a significant player for you that, provides that sort of link between the back half and the front half and just does it so beautifully. And Paul Plesha comes in and plays his role nicely. He doesn't star, but just wins good footy at good times. Just looked like the team had a nice feel about it last night. I'm not sure what you think as a player.
Yeah, look, the guys that come in, you mentioned Paul Plesha was really big for us. Kicked the crucial goal. Guys like Luke Thompson as well.
Who yeah, absolutely.
The 2012 prelim, he came in for a really big game to show out. He didn't look flustered at all, and I thought he gave us a bit of flexibility, played tall and small. And then we got Tommy Lynch, as you said, who straightened us up. His work rate up and down the ground's great. And then Brad Crouch was back in again and breaking the lines. And although he's not fit, you can see the explosiveness he has out of the contest.
Oh, yeah.
We've been missing that throughout the year as well. So some guys come in and really played their role, and that certainly helped on the weekend as well.
I thought your coaching group needed to take some credit from the selection of the team to the makeup of the team, the matchups, the team meetings, the training, game day, the plus two in the second half. Do you as a player notice a good coaching performance from a poor one, Daniel?
Yeah, I reckon at times the playing group does notice it, but the coaches are the first to put their hands up when they've had a poor coaching weekend. And I thought on the weekend, Sando and the assistant coaches, Campo, Darren Milburn and Bickley had been under the pump all week. So for them to have a really good coaching game on the weekend and structurally change things around during the game was great for us. And I think they're the first to recognise when they're not coaching well. But on the weekend, I thought they did a really good job. And I suppose not having that tag player was a good option. And then not allowing Port midfielders to get off the chain was probably two of the things I can just pick up from memory. So, yeah, they had a great weekend on the weekend. And then it's a credit to them to turn it around after a tough couple of weeks for the coaches.
Yeah, and I'm glad that's acknowledged, because we certainly did in the coaches, in the commentary box, Bone. They had a really, really good day and handled game day superbly. Hey, you yourself's having an All-Australian year defensively, rarely beaten. We call you the human blanket, the quilt, the down under or whatever. whatever it is.
The Duna. Work with us, Daniel.
Work with us here, fella. Are you still working on the offensive side of your game, having said all of that, Daniel?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely an area where I can improve my game. I sat down at the start of the year and tried to work out a few ways to get a bit more of the ball, and I reckon I'm starting to do that. There's still a long way to go. I've got to keep working on my fitness and times to get off my opponent and really run and get the ball and test them the other way. So there are a few things I've been working on, and I've been trying to take a few more marks as well, and I reckon that's starting to come as well. So if I can keep adding that to my game, and I've got to keep that defensive side up, because that's probably my main role in the team. If I can keep the defensive side and keep working on the attacking side, it'll go a long way to help me improve as a player.
Now, Daniel, if you listen to the 5AA Sports Show, you'll know that Shane from Plimpton Park is an avid caller and Mad Crows man. He just says, can you please ask Daniel if he's going to sign a contract extension with the club soon? Crows, hashtag Crows Gun. Shane from Plimpton Park needs to know, Daniel, what your contract situation is.
Shane, it's a good question. I've actually still got another 2 years after this year, so I'm still contracted for a pretty long time, so I don't really have to worry about extending it. I've still got another 2 years after this year.
Shane likes to think long-term, so, you know, 2 years is not long enough for him. He likes them to be five or more.
He's just sent another text straight in, and he said, hey, everyone's getting seven-year deals. Get your hand out.
Yeah, I'm not sure the Crows have ever done a five-year deal.
It's always a first time, young man.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, Daniel...
You guys coming up out of contract anyway next year before me, so I think they've got a few more guys to worry about.
Now, most importantly with this back, will you be right this week?
Yeah, look, I'll be fine. If I played on the weekend with it sore, I've got a whole week to get it right now. So, yeah, I'll be fine. There's no issues there.
So what was it diagnosed as? Was it muscular?
I don't even know, to tell you the truth. I was so focused on the game, I wasn't even really listening to the docs. So I think, yeah, it's definitely a muscular strain or something like that up there. But, just a bit stiff and sore, and I'll be right next week. I've got a week to get it right. I'll be fine.
So no jungle juice required. It was Kevy Whitford's physiotherapy magic that got you over the line.
Yeah, spot on. They actually couldn't jab it because it was too close to my lungs or something they were saying. So, just a bit of handiwork from Kevy and the strapping, and that got me good enough to play. So, yeah, it was good by them.
And all along, I'm sure you would have been saying, I'm playing, don't worry about me. Was that the key, or honestly, it was that touch and go you nearly didn't line up? And was it finally the doctor's call or your call?
It was definitely my call in the end. Sando come in.
Well done.
I was a bit worried at one stage, but you don't miss showdowns. I think the adrenaline of a showdown can get you through anything. So unless you had a broken leg, you'd probably play, wouldn't you? So that's the way I think about it anyway.
Got one more last one for you, Daniel. For 9 weeks, you've gone win-loss, 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 win-loss. We're now up to week 10. Is it going to change this week? We're going to go win-win?
Yeah, look, I hope so, yeah. That's the aim of the group, and we need to win this week. It's a massive game. We've got Hawthorn the week after, so realistically, we probably can't drop the game this week. So GWS are no easy beats either. They've been in really good form, and the young group's starting to really click, so we need to play the same way we did on the weekend, and I'm sure we'll get the win this week.
Twice Bones cut me off before I've got all my back questions out, Bones.
Sorry, Stephen.
Now, Daniel, cause and effect, okay? Backs are cause and effect. What are you doing socially to affect that hammer and tack, Daniel? Is it fishing? Is it golf? Is it...
Stephen?
Socially, not much. All I really do outside of footy is watch a couple of movies and go for a walk every now and then. So maybe I'm sitting down too much, I don't know. But nothing socially. I'm pretty steady at home as well. So,
good man. Yeah. Well, what I'm getting at, you're too young to be having trouble with your back, Daniel.
Yeah, I think it's just because I'm a tall guy and I carry a bit of weight in the upper body and just gets a bit stiff towards the end of the year. So, I'll be fine. Kevy can work on me all week and I'll be sweet.
Oh, the magic Kevy Whitford Boney worked on us. He works his magic.
He spent a lot of time on you working his magic.
Daniel, well done, mate. Great to have a chat after a good win. That's one in the bank. That newfound aggression and hunger, attacking flair, taking the game on, brave footy, doing it for four quarters, playing your role as a team. It was great to watch. Great win. Well done to all of you. And I've got to say it again, the coaching group, just curly, mate. Let's put that effort into it against GWS and hope to get the same result. Daniel, thanks for your time.
No worries, guys. Thanks, Dave.
Good man, Daniel.
Daniel Taylor, he's a diamond.
So important, too, isn't he? Oh, I mean, let's hope that back's right, because you know he's got this week. Well, Jay Clayton.
He's told us.
Jay Cameron.
In.
Jeremy Cameron.
He's told us he's in.
Well, let's hope
he is. But you know yourself. I don't know whether you've had back problems. I have in my latter years. Honestly, that is... If you can't bend over, turn it, it's everything.
But you're carrying a couple of extra kilos above the tool shed, Steve.
No, but Bone, what I'm saying is he played a game where he was all but ruled out.
Yeah.
And to perform like that, I bet you he gets coaches' awards votes. Well, I bet you.
So he should. I mean, to know a bloke can go in and not be 100% and be able to play and stand a quality bloke, I mean, it is great to know that you've got that in the bank, that he can carry and play with injury, because that is a real talent.